Hey neighbor, this is Valerie, member at the Animal Kingdom, Boardwalk, and the Villas at Grand Floridian, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 26 of the My DVC Points podcast. Before we begin today's show, I'd like to thank our sponsors. I call them the Add-On-Itis Dream Team. When Add-On-Itis hits your house, head on over to dvcresalemarket.com. You'll find the contract that fits and save a boatload of money. Or better yet, download their app. You can set a filter on this app that will send an alert to your phone the second a contract gets listed. Because let's face it, guys, this is a seller's market right now. If you're looking to add on, you need every technological advantage you can have to snipe that great contract right when it hits the market. DVC Resale Market and their app will push a notification to your phone in an instant. The other person I'd like to thank would be Debbie from Vacation Club Loans. When Add-On-Itis hits and you need to finance a contract, talk to Debbie. She finances all DVC properties, not just Florida. She'll do Vero, she'll do Hilton Head, she'll do California and Alani. Be sure to tell our sponsors that you heard about them on the My DVC Points podcast. They love to hear from you. Now let's pick up where we left off in episode 25. Three membership extra events for DVC members. And one of them is the Soaring Tour. Yep. The other one is Power Walk in the Parks.
Yes.
And then the other one is Fitness in the Parks. And we met at the yoga class / fitness in the park.
Fitness in the park. Yep.
So let's go ahead and talk about fitness in the park first. During that event, do you remember the actual name? It's like the kids playground area in the Redwood Forest. What's that called?
Yeah, it's the Redlands Challenge Trail.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's where we met for fitness in the park. And it's a yoga class that goes on. The really cool part about the yoga class is they take you to this playground that has the padded rubber floor.
Yeah.
You put your yoga mat out on top of the extra padded rubber floor and you get extra padding. So
I wish they put that padding throughout the entire park. Everywhere you're going to walk, that'd be great to have under your feet.
Yeah, it would be. And if anybody here has walked through the rubber playground stuff, it's just a solid sheet of it and it's very spongy and easy on your feet to walk. From what I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong or fill in the gaps here, but the yoga in the park is the exact same yoga class that they do for non-DVC members like an hour later. Is that your understanding?
I think so, but I honestly haven't looked into it that much just because I was able to just book it through our DVC. But I think you're correct.
Yeah, because I was talking with the cast members there, you and some other people. And I came to the conclusion that Fitness in the Park and Power Walk in the Park, they're listed as DVC member events, and they're listed with a free Jamba Juice. And really, the only difference is the Jamba Juice.
Okay.
That
Which was a nice perk, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it was decent. It was decent. I wouldn't turn it down if I was offered it again.
Right.
But here was what I determined was the downside to this. Okay. They offer these on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they offer them during the extra magic hours over at the Disneyland park.
Right. I think that's correct. Yeah. And they do the Tuesday is the fitness in the park and Thursday is the power walk.
Correct. So, and then I found out that they, because Monday there was another one. It wasn't called Power Walk in the Park. It was another one that was open to just all hotel guests. From, I think, all three resorts, and you could get into California Adventure early before the park opened and do the same exact power walk with no Jamba Juice at the end.
Okay.
And so once I put all that together, I kind of looked at these two events and I went, Well, they're not that special because anybody staying at the hotel can get in on them. And the only thing extra here is just the Jamba Juice.
Well, I guess one thing that I would think about too is the size of the group. You know, when we did our fitness in the park, there was myself and my wife, and she was really the motivating factor for me to do yoga because I'm not bendy at all.
Yeah, me
and either. And then my sister was there as one of our guests, and then you. So only having the four of us versus having that open to the entire hotel population, if you want to call it that, that might have changed my mind too. Again, I don't know how popular they are amongst all the other guests and things like that. So as far as it being a perk, I think the group size is something that I would consider. But again, it's hard for me to speak towards that end because I didn't do just the open-ended, you know, anybody can go do it kind of thing.
Got it. Well, the other thing was the yoga for everybody is there right near the outdoor fireplace at Grand Californian. It's not actually in the park. And that was a relatively kind of a cool thing, is being in the park when nobody's there and then doing it there in the Redwood Challenge Trail area.
And actually, over the years, that's become one of our favorite spots in the park, just to let our kids go and decompress. Hours of standing in line, it's like, and you know, waiting for this attraction or that attraction. We've really come to appreciate going over there and just letting the kids have free rein and run around and do the slides and everything. And so the fact that it was over there and kind of that woodsy feel and kind of a quiet, tucked away part of the park, I actually really liked the fact that it was there as opposed to somewhere else within the park itself.
And that's cool. And the other thing that I have to do is I have to be a failed Disneyland dad here, because I didn't point that out to Laura and the kids until our fifth day there at like 5 o'clock in the day.
It's kind of hidden. Even, you know, even you walk past it going from one attraction to the next, and it's easy to not even realize that there's something going on there.
It's very well themed. You could just walk past it and look like it's just more decorations. Yeah. And really, there's an attraction back there that's a little playground with a zip line and climbing forts and all kinds of stuff for kids.
Oh, yeah. Our kids could have played there.
And they even have a little scratch-off pamphlet that they'll give them that's to become an honorary wilderness explorer from the movie Up. And you can actually take the kids, and because we did it not this last trip, but the trip before. And each event that they go and do, they take a coin and scratch off that merit badge, so to speak. And then at the end, they get a sticker that says they're a wilderness explorer. And then one of the cast members teaches them the call, or, you know, Russell's little caw, caw, rar, kind of thing. And so and then they do a photo op with Russell a lot of the time. So they've really kind of changed it too, from just being, here's a playground, let the kids go play, to, yeah, there's a playground here, but there's also a little extra Disney magic if you decide to spend, you know, a half hour and do these little scratch-off events. So, and it's all the same things, the zip line, the little rock walls, those kinds of things. But they built in a little bit of education and a little bit of Disney magic that way.
That being said and done, would you recommend the fitness in the park to DVC members?
You know, I would. I actually liked it more than I thought I would. I know for our family, going back to the hotel room and getting the kids up that morning and getting them ready for the day, it was actually one of my highlights for my wife of the trip. Like I say, she really enjoys yoga and those kinds of things anyways. So to be able to go down and be in the park in one of our favorite areas and kind of that serene, quiet, you know, kind of, I guess, where you would want to do yoga kind of a thing, out in nature, we ended up liking it. And even I, like I say, I'm not a big yoga guy. I liked it more than I thought I would. And being a highlight for her made me enjoy it and appreciate it even more.
I have to agree with you. I would definitely recommend members sign up for this if they're willing to give up their extra magic hour over at Disneyland.
Yes, which that would be the one trade-off.
Yeah, if you're a regular Disneyland person, it's almost a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. If you have won the DVC lotto and happen to get into Grand Cal, and this is your once in 10 years trip, I'm going to tell you, go use the extra magic hours at Disneyland.
Yeah, I agree with you on that for sure.
Because it's the same instructor, the same class. You just don't get to do it in the Redwood Forest. You get to do it out there, and you'll give up some extra magic hours at DCA. That's the problem with these two morning events, is you're giving up extra magic hours someplace.
Right. Yeah, and so, especially like you said, if it's kind of a once in a however many year trip, because getting into the Grand is tough. And especially if you don't go to Disneyland that often, that extra hour, you can really crank out a lot of extra attractions and things you might not have time for otherwise. So,
but that being said and done, the instructor there was awesome. and
yeah, it was great.
Really accommodating to people. That's probably like my second yoga class ever, because I had no idea it was yoga just by fitness in the park. Okay. Yeah. I did ask down at the recreation team desk when I saw them down at Grand Cal and kind of got some of the inside scoop, so I could have a little bit more information to come in and record this show. And hats off to them. It was a great experience. Would recommend it. Or if you just want to come in and try yoga. I mean, I normally do martial arts class a couple times a week. I get under the barbell once or twice a week and then spin classes. So I'm no stranger to working out, but the yoga deal was a pretty solid workout. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm the same way. I do a lot of biking and I still play baseball and a couple times a week for both. And then I try and do strength training when I'm at work and those kinds of things when we have a break. But yeah, absolutely. I think my stomach was sore for like 3 days after that, just from doing those those exercises. So
now on that trip, did you get to do the power walk through the park?
We did not. So we had signed up for it. And by the time that third morning came around, we were spent. I still wanted to try and get up and do it. And my alarm went off. And instead of hitting snooze, I just turned it off. So we ended up missing out on it, unfortunately. And that was kind of my bad, because we were definitely trying to do it and looking forward to doing it. But unfortunately,
I don't feel too bad because I blew it off the next day as well.
Yeah, it was hard to do, especially where we'd done two events the two prior days. Doing all three in a row was a little bit more overwhelming than I think I thought it was going to be. And so, unfortunately, I missed out on that one. But next time we go, now I've got something to look forward to doing and trying something new.
Yeah, and just to clarify to the listeners there, Tuesday we did fitness in the park, Wednesday we did the member soaring tour, and then Thursday was the power walk in the park.
Yes.
And I had got up Monday morning and did power walk in the park over at DCA, partly because I was up from coming from the East Coast. So my body had still stayed on Eastern time. I got up my normal time, and well, lo and behold, I'm up early in time to try this. And I had signed up for it ahead of time. And I think that class did sell out at about 20 people. And the people there were telling me it's the exact same experience that lead this. The difference is it's all DVC members. A different cast person leads it. But what you do is California Adventures is the only Disney park in the world that allows guests in the park that are staying there before the park opens. And so they were telling me that was a unique special feature that the management at DCA allows the hotels to do, and don't mess things up and don't go rogue on them because they don't want to have this thing shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always that one person that you have to, you know, they make those announcements and you're kind of looking around going, okay, it might not be those guys. So maybe it's me that he's talking to right now. So,
yeah, well, it could be me more often than not. I'm not saying anything. But yeah, you wear these mesh safety vests that are like neon, and I think that's how they tag you, that you're with the group.
Okay.
And when they say power walk, they mean power walk. You're supposed to keep a 4 mile an hour pace in the park.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
and moving. Yeah, that is a good little clip. I know on a treadmill, I struggle at 4 miles an hour. Luckily for me, I wasn't the only one in the group that was struggling, and I did get a little bit of scolding for jogging some in the group, because you're not allowed to jog in the group on this deal. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to keep up. And so they slowed down a little bit, and I got to tell you, it was incredibly cool walking through DCA and watching the sunrise through the park and kind of watching the night lights go off, because they leave them on all night for whatever reason. So you kind of watch those go off, the sun comes up, and the hotel kind of wakes up. And we had a theme park view room, so it was really cool walking past the room and looking up and going, my family's right up in there. Again, that event, I'm going to tell you, it's the same thing for fitness in the park. If you want to give up your extra magic hours over at Disneyland, killer event, you'll get free Jumbo Juice. Let's move on now to the Soaring Tour over at DCA. Jeff, when did you sign up for that event?
So I actually tried to sign up for it like the day that it was available. I had put a reminder in my phone, but I was at work. I work for the fire department. So sometimes we can have a minute and sometimes we can have an hour and of availability to do things. Unfortunately, that my alarm pinged that morning and I wasn't able to get to it until later in the afternoon. And they had no availability by the time I got on that afternoon.
And so I just continually called back every couple days, maybe 3 or 4 days. And eventually they had a cancellation open up and I was able to get our group in. So I would recommend if you want to do this tour, and I highly recommend you do this tour, that you start working on it as soon as the opening is available. Because, you know, I got lucky, and I don't know if somebody canceled or changed plans, but, you know, I had to be fairly diligent to get into it, actually. So I don't know if your experience was similar, but on my end, I had to be fairly proactive with it.
Here's my pro tip on booking this event. Keep in mind, my background is in the call center industry. I called into the 800-800-9800 member services phone number starting at about 5 minutes till 9 a.m. because 9 a.m. member services opens up Eastern time. So I started calling in to learn what buttons I had to hit. They'll let you go through all the menus, and then you get to the close message that the queue isn't open for the agents. I kept calling back at 58, 57, 56, and finally at about 9:01, I got in, and because I had called so many times, I was able to speed through the menus. Because my deal was I knew it's next to impossible to get this in Orlando. I didn't know about California. So I started at like 5 minutes early and just like dialed it, learned all the buttons to push. Right there at opening bell, they're going to have 20, 30 staff members, something like that, that are all open. I wanted to be connected to one and rush through the menus and get to one of those agents to get that soaring tour right off the bat. And I think it worked.
It sounds like your process went a little smoother than mine did. But, you know, fortunately, I was able to get into it. And it was definitely one that we had our eye on, and we were determined to get it. So we were fortunate that we were able to.
The other thing we need to point out to the listeners here is both of these soaring tours use the restaurant reservation system to book the tour. And they're different systems with different rules in the world and in the land. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So over at the land, restaurants are always 60 days from the day of the event. That's your right. Open window, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing this on a Wednesday, you need to count back 60 days and be there calling in 5 minutes before member services open and get your practice in like I talked about. Now, over in the world, it uses the 180 days from check-in, okay, as when you can start to book. Like, let's say you're checking in on a Monday and the event there is always on a Wednesday. You can book this thing out at 182 days because you're able to book an event or an ADR, to use Disney World language, 180 days from the days of check-in. So that's my pro tip there, is be on it 180 days plus, treat it like it's Be Our Guest or some really, really hard to get reservation.
Cinderella's Royal Table.
Yep, Cinderella's Royal Table. And then the same thing over at Disneyland, you're going to have to treat it like it's dinner at Blue Bayou or some really hard to get reservation there.
Yep. Treat it like Fantasmic dining
event. I think it's worth mentioning, too, that this is not something that you can bring your kids on. I think it was ages 16 and up.
It's 14. Oh, 14.
Okay.
14 and up.
So.
Because my daughter is 12 and she just missed it. She was kind of bummed she couldn't go, but. Again, something to look forward to for next
year. Yeah, definitely. We brought a 13-year-old and we left her in the room with the littles. Sorry, you get to babysit. Yeah. We're going on a tour.
Sometimes mom and dad get to go have fun without the littles.
That's right. Exactly right.
Could we count this as a Disney date then, seeing that we left them in the room?
I mean, yeah.
You had a babysitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, from my live last week, my number one never done at Disney was a Disney date with my wife. So I guess I can say it's still true for the world, but not the land now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to put that on I haven't done one with my wife, but I've taken both my daughters for time, just me and them individually in both. I haven't done Disney World with my youngest yet, but I've done Magic Kingdom with my oldest and Disneyland with my oldest. So, and Disneyland with my youngest. So I've almost completed a daddy-daughter date with both my girls at, you know, individually on both ends of the country both times. So I'm working on it.
I'll tell you, it's such an amazing thing to do. It really is. And when we were last summer, when we were at Disney World, we were using the childcare over at Beach Club, which has since now closed, but it was the most amazing thing. We would drop, you know, two of the kids off the childcare, and then Chad and I would take one child. They got to pick where we ate, what park we went to, what rides we went to. And that was some of their most memorable experiences, was just having time alone with either one parent or both parents or whatever the case may be. It is super, super special. And for all the listeners out there, I highly recommend doing that.
How cool is it for their kids to go back to school or when, you know, their group of friends and say, my mom or dad took me on a daddy-daughter date or a mommy-daughter date or a mommy-son date or a daddy-son date. And it was at Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do this weekend?
Exactly. Exactly. It's so amazing and something that they will just never forget. That extra time that they totally cherish.
Yep.
That being said and done, the 13-year-old, the 12-year-old stuck in the room, and we had what I consider one of my best ever Disney experiences. I don't know about you, Jeff, and you, Laura, where it would rank in your overall positioning.
For me, I would say kind of the same as you, top five. I had an experience a little over a year and a half ago where I got to go into Walt's apartment on Main Street. And for me, that was bucket list item number one for anything Disney. And so to me, that will always probably be number one. I would say Soarin' is probably either the second or the third. I mean, it was a lot cooler than even I was expecting it to be. And I had pretty high expectations going into it.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I'd rank it, but it was very cool and I highly recommend it. It was super interesting. I would do it again.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I did the Soarin' tour on Wednesday and then Friday I did the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour where you got to go up into his apartment. And I think I took the photo that they allowed me to take in there and posted it as this was the original deluxe studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, I look at it and I'm like, fold out bed, mini fridge, sink, toaster. Yeah. Walt had a deluxe studio.
Yeah. My favorite part of that whole experience going to his apartment, aside from seeing the lamp and just being there in general, was seeing his grilled cheese toaster on the counter still sitting there, just like he had left it, you know, waiting for his next sandwich to be made.
Yeah.
See, everybody teases me when I go out to work. I'll get a grilled cheese sandwich when we go out to lunch together. And see, I knew me and Walt had something in common here.
Yeah, you're in good company. That's for sure.
I seriously would rank this as one of the top events that I've done. And through the magic of podcasting and network and friends, I mean, I've even been over to Club 33 in Disneyland. I've been over to 1901 in DCA. And one of the 33...
Didn't invite me.
It wasn't this trip,
I
didn't
go,
man.
I haven't been either at Disneyland. I'm like, can we go? Can we go?
I could not work my magic for this trick. So that could have just been a once and done kind of a deal. But I'm telling you, I would put this Soarin' tour above a Club 33 trip. It was really that level of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time you go, if you do work your magic, you give me a call. I'll drive out to Disneyland for a day to go to Club 33 and I'll even buy you a meal when we're there just so I can, because that's, now that I've been to Walt's apartment, Club 33 moved up to number one bucket list thing. you let me know and I'll make it work.
Hey man, I'm still scrapping to get my own self an invite in there. So
Yeah, seriously. It's crazy.
And just a fair warning there, lunch will set you back over $100.
Yeah, I figured it would.
It is not cheap. But no. That being said and done, this Soarin' tour ranks that high in my opinion. And the guy who led it, Mark, I can't give that guy a high enough hashtag cast compliment because in my opinion, I just thought he was incredible.
Oh, he was awesome. And I noticed early on when we first started talking outside the attraction, kind of the meeting area, he had a little notebook and it looked like a brand new notebook, almost not like a spiral bound, but almost like a journal. And I was kind of thinking, I wonder what his journal is. You know, it looks like he just walked over and grabbed it off the shelf kind of thing. Well, as he started talking, he would open that up for notes and things like that. That entire book was filled with his personal notes about that attraction.
Wow.
I mean, you talk about a guy that knows his ride. I was blown away because I was standing just close enough that I could kind of peek in when he'd open it. And it was, as he flipped through the pages, it was all, you know, this attraction does this, this attraction does this. It was designed by X engineer and all those kinds of things. And I was just blown away. I'm like, now I understand why this is the guy that is the one leading this tour. He knew that ride inside and out, for starters. Secondly, he was passionate about it. I was like, this isn't a guy that just comes to work and enjoys coming to work. This is a guy who comes to work and wants to be the best at what he's doing. Even if you put up air quotes as I'm saying this, just an attraction operator. No, that guy loved what he did, and he shared it with us in that, you know, couple hours we had with him. And he does that every day with guests coming through the lines and the people that he's meeting. And I was like, that's what makes this so special, is we got the guy who, I mean, we hit the jackpot on a tour.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, we hit the jackpot on a tour guide. We hit the jackpot on getting the reservation for the tour. And DVC just hit the jackpot when they negotiated with the parks to do this backstage tour. Because one of the things that Mark was telling us was there was some kind of a cast reward system where if they had X amount of points and time and whatever, they could earn their way to mm-hmm. this tour. And Soaring and Haunted Mansion were the number two requested tours for cast members to go on backstage.
Yep. Which the Haunted Mansion tour would be fantastic.
Yeah.
If they ever bring that.
Yeah. Up. If anyone in DVC land is listening, the higher ups, please put that in the works as well. Cause that would be awesome too. With the lights on.
I mean, and what else? I mean, what could even compare to that? Except, you know, I mean, maybe pirates doing something backstage with pirates.
That might be cool too.
I mean, Haunted Mansion and Pirates to me are like the flagship attractions. They may not be, you know, Splash Mountain's my favorite, but as far as the cool factor, there's nothing better than Haunted Mansion and Pirates.
Yeah, that would be really neat too.
So,
yeah, and which is, you know, my deal is like you had the ideal tour, you had the ideal cast member who was passionate about his job, knew it, loved it, and the guy just like oozed pixie dust.
Did. Absolutely.
Like I'm telling you, man, it's just like I can't give Mark a high enough cast compliment when we left that, because you and I were talking about podcasting and this kind of deal. And I put two and two together. I'm like, well, maybe Jeff will join me for this episode. So let's grab a photo with Mark, with me, you, Laura, and Jeff. And we'll just get the photo for this episode right there. Mm-hmm. And I originally intended to just do a solo episode as a cast compliment to him. But then I kind of thought, well, I normally get a little bit of backstory on my guests, so let's start the show with your backstory, Jeff. But
yeah, worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's kind of recap the tour here. So the first thing I can tell you is at DCA, you meet across the street from the attraction over at, well, for lack of better words, the Woody Wagon.
Yeah, the Coke stand next to the Woody Wagon.
Yeah, right. That's
basically where
right
we met.
Right by the souvenirs.
You're meeting at this, Laura called it a Woody Wagon growing up. It's a station wagon that's got like wood paneling on the side or something along those lines.
It's your California surf cruiser from the 50s and 60s, I think. You know, that kind of era of vehicle. Yeah,
we called it a Woody Wagon or a Geekmobile. That's what we called
it. There you go.
That was the first car I drove.
You
and
I should probably get one of those, Chad.
I'm telling you, man, I could geek out to one of those, especially if I got to park it outside the Soaring Tour and go on that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we meet out there, and then we kind of head instantly backstage behind the show building. Mm-hmm. And again, no cameras allowed there, so mental pictures. And the one thing that jumped out at me backstage was there was just like pallets and pallets and pallets of those highly sought after collectible popcorn buckets just kind of sitting
yeah.
there.
Yeah, there were. There was a
so
whole bunch.
Funny.
I couldn't help but thinking, yeah, how many of these are going to end up on eBay for $40 each? Okay. Yep. One of my favorite little tidbits back there was Mark started explaining the airflow system, and he started showing us the ventilation system that goes into Soaring. Do either of you guys remember that part of the conversation?
Yeah, I remember him saying that there was the sense that they would put in the ride, and then wasn't it like, was it 30 seconds or was it 2 minutes? Something like that. Where
it was 30 seconds because they have a new scent on average every 2 to 5 minutes or every 2 to 3 minutes during the attraction.
Okay, yeah. And then it would completely suck out all the air and replace it with fresh so a new scent could come in. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
I'm not sure what the exact numbers are, but I do know he said they completely void the whole exchange, all the air out of the whole theater so that you get that fresh scent when they hit it. And to me, I was just going, oh my gosh, that is just like an engineering marvel to pull.
And then
that
when
off.
We wrote it after that, I was like, oh my gosh, like it did. It disappeared so quickly and none of the scents mixed together.
Yeah, it's totally clear every time, you know, it's a, again, it would be interesting to hear again the cubic feet of air that they move, or, you know, some of those technical numbers that I don't really understand. I can still appreciate, I guess. But just to hear the amount of airflow to clear out, I mean, you just think of the size of the auditorium. I mean, that's enough right there. Just think about the size of the auditorium and think they clear out the entire airflow of that whole auditorium every 30
days. Oh, yeah. And then didn't they have more than one auditorium there?
They have two. Okay. Yeah, they have.
So they had to do that to
one on each end of the
unbelievable
building.
Yeah. So California has two salons. And then at Epcot, they just added a third.
Oh, that's cool.
From there, we kind of went inside and waited to board the attraction. And he confirmed what I had kind of allegorically figured out on my own, that the center section top row is the best seats in the house.
Yeah, that's, we always try and get that row when we're there.
I mean, because then you don't have people's feet dangling down in front of you. Okay. Yeah. And what did he ended up calling it? That it was a, I can't remember the exact term and I should have taken notes, but it was some kind of, he explained the Eiffel Tower bending, that when you're dead on in the center, the Eiffel Tower doesn't bend, but as soon as you get off to the side, it has a nice little,
yeah, there's some distortion right on the side. They said they just simply were not able to overcome that.
Well, it's, they said what it was, 6 or 8 cameras mounted on the helicopter when they took the film. And so when you seam all those videos together, when you're not sitting right smack in the center, you get a little bit of that distortion or bending of the image or whatever as you get closer to it, kind of a thing.
The other thing I didn't realize until we went actually behind the screen, I didn't realize that that whole dome, it's kind of like it's a bowl of a screen. I didn't realize it was rounded. I thought it was a flat screen up there.
No, it's cool that you're literally immersed into the screen. You know, the, like you said, it's about like cutting a ball in half, and then they put the attraction, they move you into the ball, and then you sit there, and it's almost a, it's not exactly 360 degree envelopment, obviously, because you're looking forward, but I mean, it's, your whole peripheral is covered.
Not only that, but then he started pointing out all of the speakers backstage. And I don't know, 50 comes to mind. I'm sure I'm wrong with all of our details, but that's okay. Let's just say there was a ton of them all back there, everything from tweeters to woofers and subwoofers, and just to create the immersive experience of
Storm. It was impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah. And they said those speakers were so loud, they actually had to turn them down after the first few showings of the attraction.
Yeah. Right?
When they first built it, they said it was so loud. It was, you could hear it outside of the building and that kind of thing. And so they ended up turning it down. But those speakers were, yeah, they were everywhere and ranging up to, I think they said 18 inch or 20 inch subwoofers. And it was impressive to be behind the scenes and see all those speakers that are hidden behind the screen.
One of the other things that I thought was incredibly cool, and it can only happen at California, was behind stage, like in the area between the two salons, there's a little hallway there, and they actually have the mechanical model built out of an Erector set that the original Imagineer used to come back in. And when he designed out the mechanics of this ride, it's still sitting there, and it's like on a little bench.
Yeah, and it wasn't even in the display case. He was able to pick it up and show it to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember seeing that. I watched a few shows, and I have a few DVDs about Disney parks and how they're Imagineered. And I remember watching the interview they did with him where he had that Erector set, and he got it out and displayed it. And so to actually walk in, I was like, it was pretty cool to say, hey, I've seen that in one of those documentaries I watched, and then actually see it there. And it's like, how cool is it that it hit a child's toy, grows up, thinks about it, and designs one of the best attractions in California Adventure Park just off of the toy that he had in his closet, because there was no other way for him to think of how to design this, the infrastructure for the ride.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to see that.
What are they doing with this thing just sitting backstage here? This thing like belongs at the Disney Family Museum or the National Archives or the Smithsonian or...
Absolutely.
Something along those lines. That was a memorable moment backstage. And then the other thing that I thought was incredibly cool was the 3 cents that come out in the ride. They actually have a little container of them and pass them around so that you can kind of see them. And that was incredibly cool as well, to just see that they're little containers of beads somehow that create the scents.
And the highlight of the beads that they had back there in the scent containers was that they were the original attraction before they changed it from Soarin' Over California. So getting to smell that scent of the pines as you went through Yosemite Park, and because that's one of my favorite things that I kind of wish that maybe at some point they'll put the original attraction back in one side of the theater. You know, one theater would play Soarin' Over the World, the other would be Soarin' Over California, because the scents from the pines and the orange groves, oh, yeah, those were my favorite. So to get to smell those again, I was pretty stoked.
Yeah, I would love it if they brought that back too.
I have to say, I'm a original gangster kind of person there, although he explained out the problem was the original was shot with actual film, and this new one is all digital projection. Yeah. And so there's no really way to come back in and convert the original film over to this new digital technology.
And the original film was 3,000 miles long, wasn't it? Or 3 miles long? Maybe it was 3 miles. It must have been 3 miles long. Yeah, 3 miles. That's what it was.
Again, I'm not going to hold myself to any numbers. Let's just say it was a massive amount of length. And he explained, and you could see the old projectors and the old reel cases. He kind of pointed them out through a glass window that, hey, this was what the old stuff was. And it was miles and miles and miles of this stuff. And it just had to wrap around. And the other problem they had there was it had a limited shelf life. And it would take, 20 hours or something to change out the film?
Yeah, $250,000.
Yeah, they said it was $250,000 to replace each reel when they needed to do that.
Yeah, whereas the new projector bulbs last, I don't know, X amount of time, and he goes in and, you know, we still replace them at the 80% mark just to make sure everything's bright and sharp.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. These guys are, that was the other feeling that you got from this attraction, was you don't realize what gets into maintenance of these rides.
The Imagineers design it and build it. They do a pretty dang good job of keeping things running the way that it was designed to run on day one.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty impressive that even after how many years, I mean, again, we're talking about Pirates and Haunted Mansion. Think about how long those rides have been in existence. And yet you go on those attractions and they look just as good, if not better, than they would have the day they opened. And they still bring that same feel. And Soarin', you know, hearing those technical aspects about the film reels versus the digital era that we're in now, and the bulbs versus the film and those kinds of things, it's like, it doesn't matter what they do or how they design it. If they, you know, when they switch from those film reels to the digital projection, they still change things out and keep them up to date before they ever have to. They have 20% more shelf life on those bulbs. And they're like, nope, that's not good enough. We're going to make this the best ride it can be every single day.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. And that's one of the reasons why Disney is so fantastic.
What it does is it comes back in and it goes, you know, I know we pay through the nose, or we think we do, for park tickets. But when you look at the expense of just keeping those attractions up, it was like, okay, I guess it really does cost this amount of money to keep this high quality entertainment going.
Yeah.
Because to me, it was like, okay, I'm not going to complain about park tickets anymore.
Yeah.
I said their attention to detail cannot be rivaled anywhere.
No, it can't. And, you know, other theme parks are still fun, and I enjoy going to other parks and that kind of thing. But Disney will always be number one. And a big part of that is because of that detail. You know, when my wife and I got married, we went to Universal, and we spent a couple days there and did Harry Potter Land when it first opened. And Harry Potter Land was fantastic. But walking through other areas of the park, it's just not engaging. We rode the Mummy ride, and it's a fun ride. But the line itself, even though they put like kind of pretend hieroglyphs or Egyptian paintings on the walls, that was all there was to look at. Compared to Indiana Jones,
oh yeah,
you're in an attraction the moment you step foot in the line for that ride.
Yeah.
The entertainment and the attention to detail is what makes it fun. And I don't even mind. There are certain attraction lines and queues that I wouldn't mind spending more time in. If you have a fast pass, you kind of breeze through some of it. And it's like, you kind of miss some of the fun part of the storytelling before you get to the story of the attraction.
Yeah, Flight of Passage is the same way over at Avatar.
Yeah.
You miss absolutely a lot through the fast pass. And the same thing applies to Peter Pan, because in the world, we can fast pass Peter Pan.
Yep.
And I heard they just spent an enormous amount of money on rebuilding that queue there.
Haunted Mansion even has interactive things in the... queue outside.
Yeah, and I wish Disneyland had a little more interaction with the queue at Haunted Mansion. I really enjoy walking through the queue because it's such a well-kept garden and the little cemetery they have and that kind of thing. But going through the one, the reimagined queue in the world, in comparison, it's a lot of fun playing with the interacting with the tombstones and seeing I think it's Madame Leota's tombstone. You see her eyes kind of pop up and she's looking at you through the tombstone every now and then and those kinds of things. Big Thunder Mountain's very similar. Disneyland has a great queue to walk through there, but Big Thunder Mountain, when it was refurbed in the world, adds a lot more cool digital and modern effects. And so it's fun to see the differences, but at the same time, it kind of, sometimes you go through a queue and it's like, man, I wish I was in the queue for this ride at the other park just because it has a little bit more stuff that I liked in it. It's kind of funny to say that when you're standing in line.
Yeah,
you know, spending a half hour or whatever, and you're going. I had higher expectations for this one.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
what other memorable talking points do you guys have on the member soaring tour?
Well, I would say there was the hidden Mickeys, but I do not think we should disclose where those are.
Oh, that's right. We did get major spoiler alerts on the hidden Mickeys there.
Yep.
Yep, and it was fun too because I'd actually noticed one of the hidden Mickeys when we rode the attraction since. Part of the tour is we actually got to experience the attraction, like you were saying. And I noticed one of the hidden Mickeys and I was like, oh, I got one of them. So then to go and actually hear and see why they put them where they did and which ones they used and where they chose to, or why they chose to use the ones that they did in their locations was awesome. So I really appreciated the little, again, just the Disney magic, yeah. Right? The hidden Mickeys and those kinds of things that they keep you looking for more.
They sure do. My kids look for hidden Mickeys all over, everywhere, not just in Disney World, everywhere. Everything to them is a hidden Mickey.
That's great.
Okay. I know there were some other comments that he explained to us because, well, he talked about gentleman who wrote the music for the ride and how he was like blown away the first time he rode the ride and almost brought to tears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark emotionally took us to that point where, okay, you've put hours and hours and hours into this. And he said the guy came back and said, hey, if you're ever going to refilm this or update it or refresh it, I enjoyed this so much. Just call me and I'll do it for free.
Yep.
Yep.
And
I'm like, that's the level of passion that people put into this.
And the Imagineers looked at him when he had tears in his eyes and they're thinking, uh-oh, did we mess it up? And then they realized, no, they did it perfectly.
They nailed it. It was the opposite end of that. Yeah.
Okay. Laura, any final thoughts here?
I give the Soaring Tour two thumbs up and I highly recommend it to anyone. And a special bonus if you end up getting Mark as your tour guide.
Yeah, no kidding. Mark was awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that.
Jeff, any final thoughts?
Don't miss it. If you can get it, definitely don't miss it. Don't hit your snooze on this one because it's fantastic. Again, just another DVC perk that's well worth it. And on this one, I was able to take my dad and share that with him. And he liked it so much that he ended up went over and at the little gift shop and bought a magnet that's a Soarin' magnet so he could put it on his desk at work and have that reminder. And the highlight of the trip for him, like he told me, he said, I got the magnet for Soarin' this trip because that was the coolest part of the trip this time, aside from grandkid time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is completely awesome. And I have to say, get on the reservations early. I know at Disney World, you have to be on it like a hawk. It sounds like, according to Jeff, the same thing is true over at Disneyland, that this is an incredibly popular event. And my wrap-up thoughts is, like I said, biggest cast compliment I can possibly give to Mark for this tour. I am heading over to the World July 3rd, and I have the same exact Soaring Tour booked. I'm hoping that the World can hang with Mark in terms of the awesomeness there. We shall see. I know they won't have the original model that'll be there. However, we'll have to see if they can. But it's events like this that make me incredibly glad and proud to be a blue card owner of DVC. And this event was literally so cool. It really made me change my position on this because I get asked this a lot. You know, given the podcast and the Facebook lives and creating all the social media stuff, am I a director resale guy? And I've always been both. But now I really think you are missing out on such cool things like this so much that I'm really leaning towards don't discount that blue card, at least for the 75 points or whatever the minimum is when you listen to this, because they'll probably raise it again. But hats off to DVC leadership for putting this event together. Hats off to the people who wrote the tour and said, hey, this is the content that needs to go into it. This thing is truly Disney magic. And if you're a DVC member, you really need to do whatever you can do to get in on this tour, because I'm telling you, it is one of the best things I have done in Disney in 20 plus years ago.
Couldn't agree more.
I would like to thank you, Jeff, for joining the show.
Everybody. And I am going to be home in Michigan from my home to Disneyland, where Terry from episode 3 and McNair Wilson, the former Disney Imagineer from episode 22 and 23, all came out there. And you can join us all on Thursday the 20th on facebook.com/mydvcpoints or over at youtube.com/mydvcpoints. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and even Tumblr, doing daily posts with just a picture from home. And we're multi-streaming to YouTube and Facebook now at the same time. This show is just really catching fire. Speaking of which, I also have to thank you, the listeners. By the time this episode gets done, we are going to have over 20,000 downloads of the My DVC Points podcast. That's just the audio podcast. The weekly lives aren't even included in there. So I want to thank every single one of you guys for listening, sharing the show, and all the phenomenal reviews. I've got podcaster friends that are looking at my reviews going, how do you do that? And I go, well, I don't know. I care about members. And I have an authentic show that is member driven from the member experience. And it's all about the members. So thank you guys so much. It is a pleasure and an honor and a joy to serve you. Speaking of which, I'd like to read two iTunes reviews that came in this week. One from J. Thaddeus Toad Esquire. That's Mr. Toad. This is by far one of the best presented Disney podcasts available. The production is first rate and great entertainment for any Disney/DVC fan. Thank you there, J. Thaddeus. We appreciate the 5-star reviews. And the second one is from SuperDave310. And Super Dave writes, I'm not a DVC owner and know a little bit about this DVC stuff, but this show makes it understandable. That's the goal here, is we are sharing what we think is a phenomenal product from a member perspective with member truth. I do have a couple other post-show comments as well. Because I was able to go home between these two episodes, I was able to stop by the concierge desk over at Grand Cal and just get some clarifications here. So one, they did confirm Jeff nailed it. The difference between the DVC event and the hotel event is the DVC events are smaller and quainter, and there's fewer people allowed in those events. So Jeff absolutely positively nailed that one. Plus the free Jamba Juice. I mean, how do you not love free Jamba Juice? And from doing those lives, I know my listener base, well, we're hashtag food motivated. So there you go. The other thing I was able to come back in and do is get staff member names that I failed to write down. Power Walk in the Park, Dave and Alexis, cast compliment to you guys. You nailed it. And our hashtag cast compliment also goes out to Chrissy from Fitness in the Park. You guys are absolutely incredible. The other thing I will tell you guys, if you get a chance to do Power Walk with Dave, get Dave talking about DVC. Come to find out, he is an original Old Key West member. Original, like when they started selling at pre-sales. He's been a cast member for like 30 years and bought into DVC way back when. This guy has a lifetime of wonderful Disney stories to share with you. One of the tips that I took away from talking with Dave, his advice to new people, buy as many points as you can reasonably afford. Forget what you think you need, forget what you think you want, buy what you can reasonably afford. The reason why is he knows add-on-itis is real, and you might as well buy while the price is low, because it only goes up. It only skyrockets, really, if you start to look at the price on this stuff. That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for following. Thank you for being such a supportive, wonderful community. Have a magical day, and I hope you can join Terry, McNair, and myself on our live on Thursday the 20th.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know we'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.
Yep, and we will hopefully do some more recording with you soon, Jeff, because I have a feeling that your stories are going to evoke a whole lot of comments, and we'll have to have you back on the show again and do maybe do a full episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. It'd be great to do and be a part of. Like I say, we had a lot of fun meeting you guys in the parks and enjoying some of these, you know, perks, especially being new. It was awesome to get to know you guys and really find your podcast through going and doing yoga in the morning in the park of all places.
Yeah, it was fun. And I'm looking to doing some interviews with children. So if your kids, I'm a teacher, so I'm looking at interviewing some of the kids. So if your girls would be interested in coming on the podcast too, that'd be awesome.
A 12 and a 6-year-old girl. So you'll get a little bit of a kind of a different age difference between them. But yeah, absolutely. They'd love to. And my 6-year-old, she's a firecracker. So I think you'd have a hoot talking to her.
That would be awesome.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and hit my stop button on this.